Hey, everybody, this is Reddy Coggins II. Thank you for joining us today on a wonderful podcast episode. It's very, very special. It's my first podcast episode with a special guest. And today we're talking about a very important subject about the church and the United States of America. A lot of things going on in our nation, a lot of things going on around the world, whether you're listening in the United States of America or from another country. I'm telling you, we are in definitely the last days, but I believe that we are in a time and we are in a moment that is great for the kingdom of God, but it's time for us to stand like never before. And I'm so excited to be talking about the church in the United States of America on this audio podcast episode with my good friend, Pastor Gabriel Swaggart, all the way from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and from Sunlight Broadcasting Network, Family Worship Center, and just powerful things are happening in his ministry. And we're going to have a conversation today. We're going to talk about things in the country, talk about things in the church, and what we can do as a body of Christ and as a whole and as a team, and how to stand for what's right in the Word and what's biblically going on. So, Gabe, thank you so much for joining on today, man. Greet everybody.
Randy, it's such an honor to be here with you on this particular podcast episode. And we go back a few years, and just to see a young man such as yourself really wanting to make a stand and take a stand for what's right. We need more young people, young men, young preachers full of the Holy Spirit and on fire for God to take a stand for what's right. And I appreciate the opportunity to stand with you and to come upon your podcast. And I consider it a privilege. I consider it an honor. And but more importantly, I consider it a privilege to be a friend. And so I appreciate this very much.
Hey, it's an honor and it's a privilege, and thank you for agreeing to come on with me. But listen, we're going to dive right into this thing, because I believe that there are people listening to me right now that no matter what background you come from, in the church, out of the church, white, black, Hispanic, whatever it is that you're a part of, I believe that God wants you to step into a new level and step into a new place when it talks about concerning our country, the United States of America, and the church as a whole. And so, Pastor Gabe, I want you to start off by just sharing from your heart where you think we are as a country right now, and just put it into biblical perspective, and we're going to go from there and just speak to the people today and encourage them and kind of just make sense of a few things that maybe, I know we can't cover it all in one podcast, all in one episode, we'll be here for hours,
yes,
but I just want to take a few minutes and a few moments just to share our hearts about where we are with racism, abortion, immigration, just different things going on where we need to lock arms, every color, every denomination, every background, to get the job done in America. Go ahead, Pastor Kidd.
Well, first of all, let's go ahead and clarify something before we get into the issues with the country. I believe we really need to start with the church and the responsibility of the church and the mission of the church. First of all, we really need to understand what the purpose and what the true mission of the church is. The mission of the church is to be, to do, and to tell the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is exactly what the church is called to be. In fact, that word church means to be called out. It's really what it means, a called out assembly. And this is what we are. We have been called out from among the world. We have been separated by God from among the world for one purpose, and that is to continue the works of Jesus Christ here on earth. We know that from Acts chapter 1, verse 1. When Luke wrote in Acts 1 and 1, that one phrase stands out, to continue the works of Christ. This is what we're supposed to do here on earth. Now, when we look at it from a biblical point of view, we look at the church as a whole today, the question must be asked, are we really being the church? Are we doing the church? Are we telling the gospel? Are we doing those things, or are we failing at those things? I really honestly think that as a whole, I'm not speaking of particular denominations, particular movements, particular groups. We're just speaking as a whole. I believe that we have become lax. I believe that we've become lackadaisical. We have become very much full of ourselves. Look at what we have. Look at what we've got. Look at what is going on around us. Look at the amount of people that's in our church. Look at the amount of programs that we have.
Yes.
But we need to come back to the simple mission of the church, which is to be, to do, and to tell the gospel.
That's good.
That simply means that we are to fulfill the Great Commission, not just the pastor, but the entirety of the church, the body of Christ, is to fulfill the Great Commission found in Mark 16, 15. When we look at that, Jesus commissioned his disciples and commissioned his church,
right,
and said, go out into all the world. He didn't say just for you 12. He meant all to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. That means it does not matter if you're black, white, red, yellow, brown, purple, polka dot, green, or what.
Republican, Democrat,
Democrat, exactly. Yeah. Does not matter. Doesn't matter if you're Muslim, Jewish, Hindu, non-Christian, atheist. It is our responsibility to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to all creatures without fear, without compromise, and without failure. When we talk about the gospel message, it is so powerful. Just that is just such a powerful terminology, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
In that gospel saves, in that gospel heals, in that gospel delivers, in that gospel baptizes with the Holy Spirit, in the gospel is deliverance from the bondages of sin.
It's good news.
That's exactly what it means. It's good news. And when you have good news, isn't it to your benefit to share that good news with someone else? When you see someone else hurting, it is to our benefit, their benefit, to continue to share the gospel message with him. Now, as I tell my congregation, it's not up to us to convert them. It's up to us to present it. Let the Holy Spirit do the work within their hearts and in their lives. Now, in that, we have to look at a couple of questions when it comes to fulfilling the gospel message. The first question, are we expressing? Are we communicating?
Right.
Are we demonstrating the gospel and our belief in Jesus Christ? Secondly, are our lives consistent, meaning compatible with the teachings of Christ? So you have to look at those two questions. And I think as a whole, in the day and time that in which we live, I think that as the body of Christ as a whole, that we are failing to do both of those.
Right.
We are not expressing our belief in Christ like we should, and neither are we living our lives consistent with the teachings of Jesus Christ.
What you're saying right there is just totally saying we're not living what we're preaching.
We're not living what we're
preaching. That's what we're saying. And so we expect a world, a nation to live something we're not living. Mm-hmm. And so therefore we got to stop what we're doing and turn from our wicked ways. Mm-hmm. It says, and my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, seek my face, and turn. We can humble and seek all we want to.
Exactly.
But until we turn, nothing is going to happen.
This is the major key when we look at the church world today. We're living in a church that is overabundant.
Right.
They have plenty of whatever it is that they need. Everything resources is at our fingertips. Yes. Everything is right there.
Yes.
However, we've got to come back to the basic questions. Are we, is our lives living up? Are we living what we preach? We can't just proclaim one thing and live something else. We have to proclaim and live what we preach. Secondly, when it comes to the church, when we evaluate our witness, when we evaluate what is our purpose, what are we doing? We have to evaluate this, and we have to look at two major factors when it comes to the church and what we're trying to accomplish. Number one, our goal as the body of Christ is to witness and to share the gospel. Number two, it is to disciple those that are brought in.
Right.
So getting this, when we look at the state of the church, getting them saved, discipling them, showing them how to live for God, showing them what it means to live for God in this world in which we live.
Right.
It's not easy.
No.
It is not easy. However, with the proper tools placed at our disposal, which is the Word of God, an understanding of the Word of God, and developing a proper prayer life, having the resources, and I'm going to do a little shameless plug here, such as the Expositor Study Bible that we have that helps to explain the Word of God and bring the Word of God to life. Let me share this just about the Expositor Study Bible.
Yeah.
A few days ago, someone sent me a link from a particular television show called Big Brother. It's on television, ABC, CBS, whatever it is, one of the major channels. And they have this Big Brother After Dark. Mm-hmm. And apparently several of the female cast members, Lola Jones is one of them, who is a famous track star. She actually went to LSU here in Baton Rouge. She was an Olympian, famous track and field. I believe the other, there was another one. I think Toni Braxton's sister was in there, and there were several others in there.
Uh-huh.
And so they were having a Bible study, and Lola Jones picks up and has in her possession an Expositor Study Bible.
Right.
And she's looking at it.
And for those of you that listen, that may not know what an Expositor Study Bible is, it's the Jimmy Swaggart Bible.
It's the Jimmy Swaggart Bible.
The Expositor Study Bible. You need to get one. Go ahead, Gabe. It's
exactly. So she's in there. She grabs one. She's starting to look at it, and they're starting to read whatever passage that they're reading. So she's explaining. She says, my notes are in red. Mm. And she says, my notes are on fire. Mm. And I'm looking at this, and I'm watching. I'm like, you know, when you have a proper understanding, now I'm, is she saved? I don't know. That's not my, I don't know.
Right.
I have no idea.
Right. Yeah.
But when you have something at that, at your disposal that helps to explain the Word of God, you need to take full advantage of it. So getting back to our conversation, it is our responsibility as a, as the body of Christ to see people saved and to disciple people. Now, discipleship into the world in which we live is not an easy thing, as you well know. You see it, you live it, you are surrounded by it just as I am. We're living in some very dangerous times.
Crazy times.
And I believe that the church has failed to raise up individuals to not only see people saved, but disciple individuals that can take a stand in the right areas. Whether they be in the educational field, whether they be in the political field, whether they be in the spiritual realm, which is above all, whatever it may be, we have failed in that area. And because of that, we are seeing a complete lack of morality in the world today.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at it, I know you and I, we've seen this, we've watched it over the news, we've seen it over social media, the issue of abortion, which is becoming very, very hotly debated.
Right, right.
That issue should not even be an issue.
No, not at all.
It should not be something that we have to debate. When we are debating on whether or not protecting animals,
right?
I mean, people go crazy if we don't protect animals.
Right.
But they're not going crazy by not protecting a human life.
And this is simply the fact, going back years ago to Roe versus Wade, when that was passed, when that was going on, the church stood by. I didn't say a word.
Did not say a word. Didn't
say a word. It just let it pass by. You know, that was before I was even born.
Right.
But then you watch this, and years now later, a new generation has to deal with something that the former generation never dealt with.
And not only that, you're looking at a generation that is less godly, that knows less about the things of God than ever before.
Right.
Then that they have not been raised in church. They have not been raised in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, just as you and I were. We had a privilege and the privilege of being raised under godly parents, being raised under godly spiritual mentorship. And yet we're living in a generation. We're not seeing that. I mean, young people that our age, I mean, I'll be 40 this year. So I've got individuals my age, never even once seen a Bible. They've never even once heard a gospel song.
Right.
And yet
notice, even all the people that listen, notice right there, you said godly parents.
Yes.
You didn't say perfect parents.
That's true.
Perfect people. You said godly. There's a difference between being godly and being perfect. Nobody's perfect, but we can strive to be perfect by the word of God.
Exactly. We can strive to be godly.
Different people try to get this in their head. Different parents, they're like, man, well, you know, I'm not perfect, so I can't go to church. I can't live by the word because I'm not perfect. But you can be godly.
You can be godly.
Perfect.
Exactly.
Try to walk in that lifestyle. Keep going, Gabe.
Well, you know, when you're talking about that, that's a huge factor is having godly parents, as you and I had godly family members. But yet, even today, with this issue, which is being so hotly debated, it is a woman's right to choose. The question that I have that I would like to ask is, why are you wanting to choose to murder a child?
Right.
Why are you wanting to even think about murdering a child? Because that's really what it is. It is human sacrifice. If you go back into the Old Testament, the heathen nations, they were known for human sacrifices, for many of them, for offering their babies, their little small babies to Molech, as they would burn them alive. And we're doing the same thing now, but just in the mother's womb.
Right.
And you have this bill that's coming up being debated in Virginia, where one Democratic state senator suggested that you can end the pregnancy and end and terminate the pregnancy all the way up to the last day
pretty much
before
the second.
It is born.
It's pretty much the second.
It's the second. It's just ridiculous. And I'm thinking, like, how can you even think about something like this where you can even – you have protection regarding fishes, regarding animals. You've got snails. You've got salamanders being protected, but you don't have any protection for the unborn. And that is mass genocide.
If I go out on the beach and shoot a bird – if I shoot a physical bird, I'm going to get arrested and I'm going to be taken to jail. But I can go to a hospital with my wife who may be pregnant at the time and abort my child.
And nothing ever comes of it.
Nothing ever comes of it.
And, you know, the thing about we've got to understand as well that this issue of abortion, it is sick.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. And the fact that we have to have an argument over this shows the decline of the nation.
Worse than the Holocaust.
Exactly. And you have to look at it from that point of view. Hitler murdered 6 million Jews.
Right.
We're doing that with unborn children.
And the numbers are way beyond
that. Staggering.
Yeah.
It's staggering. It's what, 1.5 million babies a year?
Yeah.
Aborted, I believe it is, every year in this nation. And that's not counting all over the world. That's just here in America. And it's staggering to think about the fact that people are butchering.
Right.
And they're barbaric.
And I've said it like this, Gabe, just a couple of days ago, because the subject is so heated over the past days, weeks, months, you know, with the new administration, with everything going on. And I was thinking about it the other day. I remember I first found out what abortion really was. Mm-hmm. And I was like 12, 13 years old. That's when I really understood. Because, you know, when you're a little child, you're not going to fully
understand. You don't see that,
But when you become like that teenage years and you start understanding what's going on,
you're
realizing that a young baby is being ripped apart and all of this stuff through abortion, whichever way they decide to do it, either way, the baby is suffering.
Exactly.
And from that moment until this day, now years later, when I'm 24 years old, I still feel the same way.
Exactly.
Because my child just gave – my wife just gave birth to our baby girl 8 weeks ago, and I'm thinking about this late term or whatever they call this abortion bill from Virginia, and I'm like right fresh out of my wife, out of the womb of my wife. I'm like, how could you end something? Even if there's a defect. Even if there's something wrong, there's purpose. Ask yourself this question. How many Martin Luther Kings have we killed?
Exactly.
How many evangelist Jimmy Swaggers have we killed?
Exactly.
How many Billy Grahams have we killed? You think about that for a second, and this will flip it for a minute. Even if you're listening to this and you had an abortion, the blood will cover that.
That's right. Yes, it will.
Now is your time to stand for what you didn't know at that moment.
Let me give you an example. This was about Abby. Our middle daughter, Abby, just turned 9 yesterday. And February the 1st. That's her birthday, February the 1st. Right after she was born. So this was about 9 years ago when this happened. We put a picture of her, a baby picture when hours, I think it was like a few hours after she was born, maybe a day or two, something like that.
Right.
On the cover of the Evangelist, which is our monthly magazine that we publish for the ministry. And, I got a letter in the mail about 6 months after that particular, magazine hit the homes. And it was from a grandmother, and she had written me and she said, Pastor Gabe, I got something to tell you. I got a testimony. And she said, my daughter, who was not a Christian, lived a life of promiscuity for years. She wound up getting pregnant. And she said that it was in her mind. She was going to get an abortion. That was it. I'm just going ahead. Getting an abortion. Not even going to worry about it.
Right.
And so she said, I kept telling my daughter, don't do this. Don't do this. And so this went on for several weeks. She put it off. Several, I think it was about 3 or 4 months went by. And it was right after, it was right when that magazine came out.
Right.
And with that picture of Abby on the cover, she was one of our church members, media members. She looked at that picture and she felt an unction of the Holy Spirit. And she placed that magazine in front of her daughter and said, "Would you abort this baby?" And she said, "Mom, wow. No, I couldn't." She said, "Why are you aborting yours?"
Wow.
And she said, finally, the light bulb went on.
Wow.
And she said, "I can't do it." And so she's like, so now she's like, my daughter's going to wind up having the baby. She sent me a letter about a year later.
Yeah.
From that moment, it said that if you don't remember me, I sent this letter in. And she said, my daughter gave birth to a healthy baby boy.
Wow.
And she's now saved, attending church, and she's bringing her child, her little son, and she is raising him in church. Wow. And I thought there for a second, I'm like, that's the answer. If the church can do its part, that's the answer. And so we have to put these two together, that the reason that we're in the mess that we're in politically, nationally, is because the church is in a pretty bad mess spiritually.
Yeah.
And we've got to establish, first of all, who we are, what our purpose is, and we need to come back to the simple doing, being, and telling of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right. And that's so true. And even talking about that, when they started talking about what happened in New York with the abortion bill, and now Virginia and the governor and everything that's happening. And now when that first came out, I put out a post, I believe it was on Instagram or Facebook or something. And it took me back to when Jesus was born. Because, you know, Jesus was born, him and Mary, or Joseph and Mary, and Joseph, an angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph and said, "Flee to Egypt." Because King Herod put out a decree
to kill all the baby boys.
And so watch this. I just kind of I put that parallel with what's going on in the United States of America.
Right.
I said, you know what? They can pass this, even though I believe the church needs to stand up, the church needs to rise up. But even if the bill stays and it never moves, I believe that the church needs to decree and declare that God will send an angel to every mother, to every person that would ever think about getting an abortion,
and just as
Jesus was protected, he says, "I'm going to protect those children."
That's right.
Because if it's happening for some of them, it can happen for all of them.
Exactly.
Now, listen, I believe that the prayers of the righteous availeth much, and I believe that this prayer can cause our country to shift. I can believe that this prayer can cause, because believe it or not, our country is shifting. I mean, people can say what they want to say from one aisle across to the next, but I'm telling you, there is a shift even spiritually. We are seeing, I believe, the beginning of one of the greatest moves of God that we've ever seen before. I believe it's that third great awakening that people like to call it. And I just believe right now that it's time for us to rise in a place of authority and realize what kind of power we have.
You know, you think about it, you said something that I believe we need to just kind of touch on for a second, and it's this. The question that I want to ask is, why do you think that we're seeing an uprising regarding the hatred, the vitriol, the demands of our supreme leaders, I guess you can call them, to try to remove God.
Right. Right.
The Bible. Try to remove the Bible.
Everything that concerns Christianity.
Exactly.
We can talk about Hinduism. We can talk about Buddha. We can talk about
anybody. But the moment you mention Christianity.
Or Christianity, everything, everybody
says.
That's
right.
People get
why do you think that's happening? And this is my answer, is because for the first time in a long, long, long time, we finally have, like him or not, hate him, whatever, but you finally have a president that is pro-Christian, pro-Bible, pro-Jesus, and pro-life. And when you have that, the nation has been going down for so long that the powers of darkness are now rising up to try to stop what is happening. But we know it.
Right.
As much as we know what our names are, we know that whenever God's people band together, good things are going to happen.
God's hand is at work. And this is where the church has to be grown and be adults and say, you know what, even though we don't agree with everything, even though Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever it is, even though we don't agree with everything, because this is a world we live in. We are not going to agree on everything.
That's right.
There comes a point in time where you have to put down your differences. Mm-hmm. And you got to say, you know what? We're going to do what's best for our families. We're going to do what's best for our church. We're going to do what's best for our country. And I believe that there is such a move of God. Because you said to yourself, I mean, in my lifetime, and again, I'm only 24 years old, but even go back in history, growing up, just reading about U.S. history, I have never seen even our founding fathers, it goes back that far.
Sure.
Until you've seen this come up again until recently, that there is such a mention of God in governmental places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and they try to not give it any media time. They try to, and this is one of the reasons why I'm doing this, because you know what? They can't bleep out anything I say, anything we say. They can give us a certain amount of time on Fox, CNN, whatever. But this is a forum and a place and a platform where we can spread what we believe to be true and what the Bible says is true. Right. And, you know, all of those governmental buildings, and God we trust. That's the foundation we were found on. And, you know, not to try to get super deep and into this, because it'll start to confuse some people because they don't know. But even going back, I mean, there's some wicked things in high places and people behind closed doors that want to see America fail. Going back to the banking
system,
Federal Reserve, different things.
And, you can cross the gamut of stuff, and you're going to find it.
I mean, just different things. And there is a power, even beyond President Trump, that wants to see America fail and come into this one world thing and do all this stuff. And again, I'm not trying to get into all that today, but I'm just telling
you. We need a whole nother program on that one.
Right. But the people need to realize that there are forces of darkness trying to creep
in.
That's right. But let me tell you something. Darkness can never overtake light.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about for the United States, for everything. I was preaching for our good friend Pastor Bill Bailey not too long ago. And I said, and I made this statement. I said, Gabe, I said, you know what? The only way that it can be dark in a room is if lights go out.
That's it.
As soon as a light goes out, it becomes dark. But if the light remains on, darkness can never
overtake light. That's right.
We have to realize that we have that ultimate power. No matter what bills they pass, no matter what they do, they have to see us because we are the light.
And we are the light of the world.
Standing. We need to keep pressing. We need to keep moving forward. And we need to know as a right what we have available to us, not just as United States citizens, but as believers of God, as Christians, as children of God.
You know, Paul, when he came to Athens, in Acts 17, it tells us that he saw the city and found the city wholly turned over to idolatry.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're seeing in America. We're seeing a nation that is being wholly turned over to idolatry. And that could be a million and one different things. However, I always like to say this. It's one of my little catchphrases. I love it. I stole it from Brother Bill Gaither, who's written some phenomenal songs of the 20th century. He wrote a song back in the 60s, or late 60s, early 70s. I just feel like something good is about to happen.
Yeah.
And even though we may see some bad things right now, that just means the best days are right ahead. The best days of the church are right ahead. The best days for the body of Christ is right ahead, because God's not coming back for a weak church. He's coming back for a strong church, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. He's not coming back for an emaciated church, but he's coming back for a church that is confident in his work and in his purpose, in his will. So we have to come back as a body. And you said something that I want to elaborate on for 1 second.
Yeah, you're fine.
And it's this: putting aside our differences. We're all a part of the body of Christ, but that doesn't mean we have to agree on everything.
No.
But we must agree on the basic tenets of the faith, which are salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You can't be saved outside of that. That's got to be it. As I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and we don't see eye to eye on many issues. But as I told him, I said, look, we're going to disagree doctrinally on some things. But if we can get Jesus right, we've got that's the start.
Right. That's the start.
That's it.
That's right.
That's really what we've got to come back to as a church. And we've got to come back to promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of Christ and him crucified, the power of the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, and believing God for the greatest harvest of souls that this world has ever seen.
Right. And so in closing, and we're about to wrap this thing up, in closing today, I'm just, you know, I want to tell every listener, every person that may be listening to this, there is something that you can do.
Yeah,
there is something that you can be able to. You don't have to be on television. You don't have to be have a huge platform on social media. You don't, you know, you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an evangelist. Just by you living and walking this thing out makes the world a better place.
Yes, it does.
Just
it
walk
does.
It out. And then watch this. People get attracted to that. And then, you know, when you start getting blessed and God starts moving in your life, they're going to be like, what's going on? You tell them what you're doing. Tell them how you're living. Tell them what church you're going to. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you right now that when you begin to do that, our country and our world will become a total, it'll be unrecognizable.
You know, leaving with this, faith is contagious.
Yes.
Faith is, but doubt is even more contagious.
Right.
But as a body of Christ, we've got to come back to faith and faith alone, because it is contagious and it can do some great and mighty things.
Right. And I believe hopefully we're going to do another one of these episodes back with Pastor Gabe. But, you know, concerning every area, and I know we mainly talked about abortion and just different things going on to on this episode. But I mean, abortion, racism, immigration, everything, all of that goes back to biblical standards.
Right.
And I just believe that when you start reading your word, when you read it for yourself, And like Gabe said, there's multiple resources for you to, you can't just say, I don't read the Bible because I don't understand it. No,
that's right.
People have taken years of their time to go through and put it in words where you can understand.
Preach, brother.
And so you get in a Bible-believing church. You get in a place that believes the Word of God. You get those good resources in your hand. And you begin to watch God. He will speak to you through the Word. That's it is His Word to us. And
that's
it'll begin to get in your spirit. And you will know what to vote for and what not to vote for. You
exactly.
know what to stand for and what not to stand for. Doesn't matter if you like the president right now or not. I'm telling you, the Bible will tell you what is right and wrong.
That's right.
It's the inspired word. It is a word directly from heaven for us. And
that's
I just
right.
believe that there are people listening to me right now over across the nation, around the world. I just believe right now that God wanted you to be reminded about things that are going on in the church, going on in the country of the United States of America. And today, I just want to challenge you while we're getting off here, and then I'm going to ask Pastor Gabe just to say a final prayer, and then over every person that's listening. But I want to challenge you today, the state of the church and the United States of America, stand for what you believe in the Word of God. Stand for what is true, stand for what is right, and put down the differences, put down the races, put down everything. I understand there are things that are going crazy, and we'll talk about this another time, but I'm telling you, when you stand on the principles of the Word of God, your life will never be the same. Mm-hmm. And I came to tell you, there's nowhere to go but up from here, because we're going to go higher, we're going to go to bigger places, greater places, and I believe as you stand on the principles, your life would never be the change, never be the same. And just think about it this way. I talked about this way concerning just different things going on in our country and around the world. I said, I want my children and my grandchildren and every person connected to our ministry to know that I stood for something that was right, that I stood for something that was true. And I believe as we lock arms, red, black, white, Indian, as we lock arms in faith and in unity, we're going to see a change in this nation,
a
change in our government and around the world and the church as we come together in unity. Gabe, go ahead and make a final statement and pray, man.
We'll make one last statement in this. We've got a great work ahead of us, but it is a work that God has called every one of us to be a part of. And you said it right. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to have a major platform. Just be you in Christ. Be Christ-like, and God can use you. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity that we have here in this nation to stand for righteousness. We pray your blessings upon our president, upon our leaders, upon your people. We ask that you would guide them. We ask that you would lead them. We ask that you would bless them. Bless them in ways they never thought imaginable. And God, I'm asking for a greater anointing of your spirit to touch us, to move upon us, that we can touch this world for the cause of Christ. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Hey, thanks everybody for listening. And always remember, one word from God can change your entire life. Talk to you again very soon. Bye-bye.